We're going to look at Psalms 107 tonight. Psalms 107. Now, Psalms 107 may not be a super familiar passage of Scripture, but you're going to recognize some of the verses. Psalms 107 is one of those where it has the exact same verse in the Bible four different times. So you can go, if you memorize it tonight, you can go tell somebody, hey, I memorized four verses tonight. It's because it's the exact same verses. And it talks about, oh, that men should praise the Lord. And we're excited about that tonight. Some things I like for you to look at. One of the things I've been thinking about and considering when it comes to this Christmas season is that, you know, people worship God. You know, the angels came and they worshiped. The shepherds came and they worshiped. Mary talks about worshiping. We even talk about how she worshiped when she went and saw Elizabeth. We saw that's what they did when they found the king. And they saw who he was. And he was worthy of praise. And there's some things in this passage of Scripture that I'd like for you to look at and understand. And hopefully it'll get us more interested in praising the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about through music per se. I'm talking about us talking good about God. You think about it, there's a lot of people out there that do not understand the God that we serve. There's a lot of people who say bad things about the God that we serve. They have a bad picture of him. They think of him in either that he's weak or that he's overbearing. They think of him as cruel or as something that is just super kind. They don't have a biblical picture of who God is. And I think sometimes Christians forget that, but there's a lot of people saying negative things about God. And in this passage of Scripture, we are given instruction, as it says in verse number 1, who give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. So we're told to give thanks, and the reason why simply is that he is good, and then not only because he's good, because his mercy endure forever. Verse number 2, it actually says, and this is one of those verses that might be familiar for you, because sometimes people say this when it's testimony time. They say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If someone's going to praise God, it's going to have to come from a person that's a believer, someone who is redeemed. To truly to know his goodness and to understand his mercy as much as we can, we should be willing to speak up. So here, God is saying that, hey, I want you to give thanks. And if you're redeemed, I want you to say so. I want you to talk about it. Sometimes people say, well, where does it say to praise the Lord in the Bible? It says it all throughout it. But he's saying, look, the redeemed needs to speak up. Remember, there are enough people saying bad things about God. We should be willing to speak on his behalf. If anyone is going to say that God is good, it's going to have to be those who are redeemed. Look what it says at the rest of the verse. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, that word redemption is a wonderful word. Gives the idea of suggests that there was a payment that was paid and that we were redeemed back. And we know what that word means. But if we're going to praise him, we're just going to have to say it. No one else is going to. The verses that I'm really interested in is go all the way to the end. It says in verses 42 and 43. And we might go through the whole chapter today just looking at different ways that God is good. Look what it says in verses 42 and 43. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, as you go through this passage of Scripture, obviously the one commandment is found in verse number 8, 15, 21, and 31. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then you see in verse number 1, there's a command given, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord. Now, as you go through the rest of the passages of Scriptures and you're looking at the different verses, there are some commands that are given, but mostly it's about the way that God has helped different groups of people. And we're going to look at these different groups of people. And then when we consider these things, we will turn back and we'll say, you know, the Lord is good. His mercy does endure through all generations. And as we look at this and we understand this, and we come to this spot, that in verse 44, whoso is wise, and yeah, this is, we're looking for wisdom, but it says, we'll observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So many times the reason why other people do not understand God is because the Christian does not understand God. They do not understand the loving kindness of God. They've missed the picture of who God truly is in His Word. And there is a lot of different pictures of God. We see His holiness. We see Him as a God that is love. But we also see Him as a God of wrath at the times, as a holy wrath. We see there's all different types of pictures of God throughout the Scriptures that make up this one God. And I would like for us to understand that my desire is to know Him better. Isn't that your desire? I want to know Him better. I mean, and when I come to that verse and it says, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord, I want to find out what that says. Because I want to understand Him. Because I don't understand Him all the way. I mean, that's why we come to this church. That's why we come to the Scriptures. That's why we read it. And if it can get to the spot where I can understand God better, what is it that I need to do to understand God better? And I think what the passage of Scripture is showing here, we need to rejoice. We need to give thanks. We need to praise Him. Because it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when you're praising the Lord, it is hard to complain. When you're lifting Him up and thankful for all the things, it is hard for you to be worrying. It is hard to have the wrong type of attitude when we're praising God. And that's when it comes to the spot, I think, when it's saying, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And that's what I want to do. I want to understand the loving kindness of God. I want to know Him better. I want to know all of His attributes. I want to understand Him better. And they're saying when we look at this passage of Scripture, if we will observe these things, we're going to understand God better. So let's look here in this passage of Scripture, and let's go ahead and read it. There's a breakdown here of different groups of people that God helps. It starts off by talking about how God is good and how He is merciful and how we, if you're redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's stand up and let's praise the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy. Now, in these passages of Scriptures, it shows, I believe, four different groups of people. I think the main verses kind of act as a stanza because many times psalms are actually songs. And when you get to the different stanzas, it begins talking about another group of people. The amazing thing about how we can praise the Lord, we can do it to anyone. We can do it to those that do not know Him. We can do it to those that are dying. We can do it to those that are in terrible tribulation. We can do it to those that are really struggling. That we can God can help any group and every group. As I was studying, I don't know everything about the Bible, but there's different views of when this was written. Many people believe this was written by Moses, and it was one of the beginning of the Deuteronomy-type psalms that are found in the book of Psalms. And they're talking about a prophetic view of what was going to happen in the land of Canaan. Many people believe it was actually after the Babylonian captivity. I don't really know, but I do know that God helps all types of people. And inside this passage of Scripture, there's four different groups of people that are desperate and how God can help them. Let's look here, start in verse number 3. The first one is, He can help those who are lost. Praise the Lord, if we are saved today, the redeemed of the Lord, we can say, I was lost in my sin, and Christ found me. He came to me, He saved me, and the redeemed of the Lord should say so. Look what it says in verse number 3, and gathered them out of lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Once again, if this is written to the nation of Israel, this had not happened yet. This would be a prophetic view if it is done during the time of Moses. If it had been done during the time after the Babylonian captivity and after it had come back to the nation of Israel, then that would also line up with that. But you begin to listen to what it says in verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So the first group of people I see that God is able to help and why we can praise Him and who we can praise Him to are those who are lost. You see their problem. They have no road, they have no company, they have no rest, no supplies, no hope. These people are in a desperate condition. You see that they are wanderers, as it says in verse number 4. That word actually means to stagger. They were alone, they were weak, they were nearly gone, and they were lost. And this is a picture of people today. You think about it, that we meet people sometimes today that don't have a place to go and that are hungry and thirsty and their soul is fading within them. And yes, many times it is their own problems and they have caused these things to happen to themselves. What do you do with them? Do you ignore them and say, hey, go get a job? Do you ignore them and say, I can't help you? But there is a God that can help them. The nation of Israel was someone who wandered out in the desert for 40 years. They were someone who was desperate in many ways, in many forms, just as we were if we look at our lost condition and that we had a problem. But you see their prayer. And their prayer is found in verse number 6, says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. You can bring and you can praise the Lord to anybody. They called upon God. The only place where he can be found is through prayer and speaking into it, speaking to him. Look at their provision that they received. When they cried unto the Lord, what did he do? He delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. He gave them a road. He gave them opportunity. He gave them a destination that they might go to a city of habitation. You think, look what it says in verse number 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I mean, we can, if we look at that and we think of ourselves as believers and as before we were saved, we were gone. We didn't know where we were going, didn't know where we were headed. I remember one preacher said, you know, the problem with many people today is they don't know where they came from. They don't know who they are or what they're supposed to be today, and they don't know where they're going. And that's what they're saying is a lost person, that Jesus Christ gives them purpose. Jesus Christ gives them hope. Jesus Christ gives them direction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would say, hey, I was lost. And that the people that are lost, said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is not what people think of God today. This is not how people view God. This is how many Christians view God. And why is that? It's because it says in verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we want to understand his loving kindness, it ties back to the fact that we must learn to praise him and that we must learn to speak on God's behalf, that God is good and that we were lost and we had a need. And in verses 8 and 9, it shows about the praise that happens. They're challenged to praise the Lord for his worthiness. They're challenged to praise the Lord for his goodness. They're challenged to praise the Lord that he will satisfy a person, and a believer can lead contented and have a satisfied soul. In the world we live in today, that's just not the case. There are so many people that are longing and looking and searching. And the problem is that many times believers have those problems. Why? I think it's because we've not learned to give thanks, and we've not learned to step up and say, God is good. We listen to our friends complain about God. We listen to people mock him. We listen to people use the wrong name and use his name in vain. We let people beat him down. But he's saying, oh, that men would praise him, that they would learn to speak on his behalf. You know, the redeemed of the Lord are the ones that are going to say, he helped me. So we see the first people that he can help is those who are lost. We think of that in the past. Remember what he did for us. Second one I want you to see is he can help those locked in prison. He can help those locked in prison. Look what it says in verses 10 through 16. And look at the picture that's painted here. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake up the bands asunder. Oh, that men would learn, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse number 16, we see a praise. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. So we see a picture of a person who is locked in darkness, who has imminent death. He is bound, he is afflicted, he is helpless, and he is alone. And we see that when that person cries out in verse number 13, what does he do? He cries out and God delivers him again. Look at the provision found in verse 13 and 14. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder. That's the person that God can help. God can make a difference in anyone's life. God can go up to the person who's lost. God can go to the person that feels like they're trapped and they're sitting in darkness and they have no hope, they have no help. And it gives a picture of where God saved us from and that God is willing to help them. And you know what? We can praise the Lord to people like that. There are people who are miserable in this world. There are people who feel like they're stuck and they do not know where to go and they live in bondage and they live under the shadow of death and they live in darkness, but God is able to free them from that dungeon and that power of the Almighty is able to deliver them from that. And whatever it is that we're bound by, Jesus Christ can help them. Whether it be a drug addiction, whether it be some type of immoral sin, God can help that person and we must learn to praise Him. And that way we can demonstrate to those and we can say, God can help you. You can go to this passage of scripture and you can say, look, this is what the psalmist is saying. Oh, that men would learn to praise the Lord, that we would understand His loving kindness. And this is the type of people that God can help. Once again, I know this is pictures of the past and what Israel dealt with. But we ourselves live in a day where these descriptions are many people. Many times even how Christians feel because they have forgotten to praise the Lord. Remember, if this is written towards the Israelites, those were God's chosen people. Look at the next one. Not only can He help those locked in prison, He can help those lying on their deathbeds. Look what it says in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. Once again, you see that people who have disregarded the word of God, they are afflicted, they are near death. These people are at the bottom of the heap, they are sick in their soul, but as they cry out to God, God can turn to them. God will turn to them. I think this is amazing that you can even go to a person on their deathbed and you talk to them about the grace of God and the love of God and that how God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for their sins. And even on their deathbed, they can cry out to God and say, Lord, save me. And God will save them. I don't know about you, but that's a reason to praise Him. Now, the guy who's dying on the deathbed, they're not going to praise Him. They're gone. But we can say, look what God can do. You can enter into any hospital room and say, you know what? God can help you. You can talk about that thief on the cross that the Roman government said, you are so wicked, you are so bad, you must die a painful death. But he could look to Jesus and say, remember me today in thy kingdom. And it's amazing that it's exciting to think that God can not only help those that are lost and that God can help those that are bound, but God can help those that are on their deathbeds. Next thing I want you to think about is He can help those that are laboring in the deep. Now, as I read this next one, I think of many times the people that are overwhelmed. Look what it says in verse 23. And as we read this, you're going to see, and this describes many times a believer or a Christian. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders of the deep, in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and a water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and a dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city of habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh families like a flock. You see these people that are laboring in the deep. You see these people that are struggling with what is going on and with the issues of life and the hardships of life. They are tossed to and fro. They suffer highs and they suffer lows. They suffer weariness. They suffer dispiritedness. They are helpless. They are afraid. They're unsure of their next step. But that's when they can cry out to the Lord. No matter where we're at, we can learn of Him and can understand Him. And as you read through this, you see people that are at their wits' end. You see how God can take someone that is low and lift them up, but God can also take them that are high and not living for Him and lower them down. You see where it says that He can make things come, like in verse 33, He turneth the rivers into a wilderness. He can cause things to take things away, but also He can a fruitful land into barrenness. But He can also turn, verse 35, He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and the dry ground into water springs. This is the God that can do all things. And how do we learn about Him? How do we activate these things? How do we get these things to understand Him? As we learn to praise Him. How often do we tell other people about Him? How often do we talk about how good God is? And you say, people don't want it. People don't care. People don't want to know. You know what? That's not for us to worry about. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You go and you look at what it says here, what we're supposed to be doing, and you look at what it says into verse 31, all the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And look what it says. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. There are people that are talking about how good God is. And when we come to this time of year, we see that what did Mary do? She praised the Lord. What did the shepherds do? What did the angels do? What did the wise men do? They all praised the Lord. They all worshiped God. They were all lifting His name on high. Do we do that in our conversation? Do we do that amongst one another? Do we do that amongst people who do not know Him? Do we really talk about the goodness of God? Because He says, whoso is wise and will observe these things. And you go through here and these, the things that are commands are the things that are talked about giving thanks, about redeem the Lord saying so, about gathering together, about lifting Him up. All that men would praise the Lord. And it talks about that we should talk good about Him. In the generation that we live at today, there's plenty of people that are talking bad about God. We need to be ones that are talking good about Him. You know, you can take this for what you will, but I wonder how many of us really truly talk about God. How many of us really do sing His praises? Pastor, I just don't understand Him well enough. That's what he's saying. If you want to understand the loving kindness of the Lord, learn to praise Him. It's amazing. There's a little tune that goes, it's amazing what praising can do. It's amazing what praising can do in your life. It takes your heart off of so many other things and puts it right where it's supposed to be at. And when we do that, the Bible says we will learn the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.